Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Reconnect My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear our hearts apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we'll discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad y'all are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnectmyheart. Or you can go to our chat room, which is available right now on our website. You can send your questions, comments, or prayer requests. Also, for those who may be on social media, if you want to see the video version of this podcast, go to reconnectmyheart.com. Reconnect My Heart, as well as if you're on Facebook, you can go to my page, Brother Prater, or on YouTube. I would like to say hello to everyone who may have been watching the football game today, or those who stayed up late last night watching the boxing game. Yeah, those who are watching boxing. I hope you all had a great day. This is the 10th day of October. Before we go any further, I want to first give a special acknowledgement to my cousin, Timothy Logan. Timothy Logan, happy belated birthday. Yesterday was his birthday. He turned 50 years old, and I've been trying to get in contact with him, but he won't answer his phone, so I'm going to put him on blast and say, happy birthday, man. We used to always call each other twin brothers of a different mother. So I want to tell him a special happy birthday to cool cousin, and I'm very grateful for him as well as the family that I have. So I want to just give a special shout out to him. Also, thank God for Brother Marty and also Evangelist Robertson. Hello to you all. Thank y'all for y'all work that y'all doing. I want to go ahead and speak about the topic that we're going to talk about tonight. Actually, this message came to me this week, and I forgot to mention last week what this month is. And when I began to really start thinking about the message that God gave me, it actually ties into the theme of this month. First, for those who didn't know, this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And for us to be able to just be aware, I mean, just have the conversation. It's a very needed time. It's a very touchy subject in certain areas, in certain people's home, even in the church. You know, a lot of times we assume that it does not go on, and you'd be surprised who deal with it. Domestic violence is real. Domestic violence has no barrier. There's another way I'm trying to think of it, but it can happen to anybody. I just said it that way. It can happen to anybody. It's not prejudiced. Domestic violence does not, I forgot the other word I was going to say, but anyway, it's very, very, very real, and it's very important for us to really have that conversation to talk about it. And so in the theme of the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, what we want to talk about today, we want to talk about the topic, delivered but not yet recovered. Delivered but not yet recovered. What do you do when you're waiting on God for what you lost? There are many people that are in that in-between period. You know, I say it like this. What do you do when you're no longer a hostage? What do you do when you're set free but you're still on the run? What do you do? There's a lot of people there. Matter of fact, I would think about a couple of weeks ago, they had an apartment that caught on fire. And that fire was very real. That fire could have destroyed people's lives. But just imagine those who were rescued from that fire. They're out of danger, which is great. Thank God for that. But there are many people that have lost things. And also what I found out, I don't know how true this is. I hope that the report was inaccurate, but I found out that there were those who would not be able to break their lease until they paid two months worth. They would have to pay off what's on their lease. And so they don't have anything. They're out of the fire, but they have nothing. And so that's something that we have to talk about, where there's a lot of people in our lives. You may not be in a physical fire. You may not have had anything destroyed physically, but there are some people in the stage of their life, they have been rescued from something, but they still don't have the means or the provisions that they need to make it to the next day. They have enough, but look, they were able to take care of yesterday, and they're able to take care of right now, but they may not have anything to take care of tomorrow. And so that's the thing that we have to talk about. And so in time with that, you think about, there are a lot of people that may even be in that situation right now, even pertaining to a relationship, which we're going to talk about more than a relationship, but I really wanted to really just those that know me like to be transparent. Those that know me like for us to be able to really just talk about what's going on in today's time. And a lot of times, unfortunately, many people, when they go through things, a lot of times they know and they've read the Bible. They read the scriptures pertaining to the God of the Bible, what he did back then. But they don't see the parallel of what he can do right now. And so we see God can do it. He did it for the Israelites and all that. And sometimes we even see what God can do for other people. But we don't see what he can do for our own life. Well, this is the thing. Even though we may not, quote, unquote, see it in our own eyes, but it can be done. But the thing is, who makes that decision? It's us, pertaining to us being able to see it. Of course, the devil going to try to blind us from making us miss what God can do, or even for us to miss that opportunity to see the power of God move in our life. And that's why it's so important for us. Thank the Lord. I was trying to say earlier, domestic violence does not discriminate. That's what, thank the Lord. That's something that we have to realize. When I boil down to it, for us to be able to see the same God that did it for others, he can do it for us. And that others is not just those that are in the Bible or those who may be behind the pulpit. He can do it for us to get us out of the pit. And so with that, the thing that I thought about when I thought about being delivered but not yet recovered, being delivered from whatever harm or whatever situation that or danger that we may be in, but yet still we have not recouped what we lost. We have not recouped what we need, the necessities of what we need. We may have enough to get by barely, but we don't have anything to sustain or to help us to save something for a later day or for a rainy day. And the thing I thought about is it actually came from Exodus 14 and 12. Exodus 14 and 12. This is when the Israelites were just rescued from Egypt. And they were in the wilderness. Now, get this. They were in the enemy's hands. They were in Egypt. They were held captive by the Egyptians. But verse 12, I'm just going to read verse 12. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. And it reads like this. It says, "Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we might serve the Egyptians? For it," this is the key phrase right here, "for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." This was what they were complaining to Moses about. See, the Egyptians were their enemies, but they would have rather been a slave. Understand, they would have rather been a slave versus be in the wilderness where they were at, where they, in their mindset, they don't see any provisions. They don't see any hope. But yet and still, they just got out of the enemy's hands. They just got out of slavery, so to speak. So if you want to say slavery or bondage, I'll just say bondage. They just got out of bondage. If you think about it, that's the same complaining that we do sometimes in our life. And what was funny, it made me think how sometimes, even pertaining to in relationships, there are some people that just got out of an abusive relationship, or in a relationship that their significant other were cheating, unfaithful, lying, conniving. And some of them would say, well, it was better to have an abusive man, or it was better to have a cheating man than no man at all. You've heard that? There are so many people that feel like, well, you know what? It's better for us to go ahead and have somebody than nobody at all. In other words, being able to settle for less than what God has for them, or settle for less than what God wants for them. And sometimes we compromise our own value, our own life, to settle for something that we really need to understand that's not what was meant for us. And unfortunately, many of us as people, I'm going to say it like this, many of us as believers, we compromise so much. And to be honest with you, a lot of times the devil is laughing at us because we go into church and we say that we love God and we're going to give God our life, but we end up dealing with a devil. So in us really just compromising our purpose, our life, our values, our happiness, our joy, even our family life, we're compromising that for us not to be alone. And it's not just the young ladies that'll do that. It's guys that do that. Now, of course, when you think about domestic violence and abusive relationships and toxic relationships, a lot of times we see the women as the victims. A lot of the women are the ones that are being attacked. A lot of women are the ones that are getting killed, getting assaulted, getting hurt, all these things. But also, I will tell you this, there are women that will attack guys. A lot of times we may not talk about it as a society, but it does happen. Matter of fact, a lot of times, like I said, for those that don't know, I work in the jail, and there's a lot of times I will see young ladies, maybe little small girls, and you see they buff card, that's the charge. It states their charge. It says their name, their identification, all that stuff, and then they put down the charges of what they're being arrested for. And little short girl, 5'3", 98 pounds, and you look and she in here for murder. You're like, wow. You know, sexual assault, all these things. You're like, wow. So we're not omitting that it happens to men. But I wanted to make sure to set the stage for us to be able to see that it happens. Abuse has no gender. That's a spirit. And it can get, not just get in a man to beat up on a woman, but get into a woman to beat up on a man. And so these are the things that we have to talk about. And unfortunately, thinking about pertaining to waiting your recovery, we call it, I like to call it that wilderness experience, that wilderness experience. You know, you're out of, like I said, you're out of danger, but you're still on the run. You're out of danger, but yet still, you don't have anything that's going to help you make it for the next day for what you think. And so what happens a lot of times, that's when the devil would try to mess with our mind to make us consider what? Going back. Going back to familiar territories. Like I said earlier, sometimes some people think that it's better to go ahead and go back to the old man that you know, even though you know he dirty, even though you know that he'll beat you, even though you know that he'll cheat on you, but it's better to go to somebody, how they say, it's better to deal with the devil that you know than the devil that you don't know. So a lot of times they feel like, some people feel like, well, you know, if I can go back to familiar territories, at least I know about that. I mean, really think about it. Is that the life that God has for you? No. And so many times we resort back to our old nature of too familiar territories because we don't see God moving in front of us right now. Or sometimes we feel like he's not moving fast enough. So we feel like, you know what, maybe I need to help him out. I'm going to say it like how we would say it. Well, shucks. Well, God gave me 5 cents. So I guess it's best for me to just do it on my own. We said that. I know I've said that. Taking matter into our own hands. And what happens when we take matter into our own hands? We end up messing it up. And unfortunately, many of us as believers, I'm not talking about those who ain't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And one of the things I always like to talk about, you know, as people, as believers, there are some people who are saved, but then there are other people who ain't saved. I'm not talking about those who ain't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And even though you may be saved, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But number one, that maturity level. There are some people, as believers, they are carnal-minded. There are some people, everything pertaining to their physical senses. And but see, the thing is, as I'm going to say this a little extra. As believers, one of the things we have to understand, as Christians, we are learning about a new mindset and a new kingdom. So a lot of times people may think, well, you know, that person, you know, maybe he ain't saved or whatever. This is the thing. It's just like when I got hired on at my job, there was a big building and there was departments within the building. Was I expected to know everything pertaining to that particular department within a matter of minutes? No. Excuse me. What happened is I had to know, learn the departments. So that way, as time go on, if I need to go somewhere, if I need to do something, if I need to visit somewhere, a different department, hey, I can walk in, I can go in, I can go out. But the key thing is I have to learn departments. And so the thing is, as believers, listen, in those departments, those are new departments. I'm in a new career, a new job. There's that shock value or that newness. So, of course, I'm learning the different areas and stuff. Same thing as a believer, as Christians. Understand, we are in a whole new different mindset. We operate in a different kingdom or a different realm, so to speak. Now, the thing is, we're dealing within a spiritual realm. And there are some people that may say, well, you know, I'm not a Christian or I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, guess what? If you're a human being, you are a spirit. But you just have to be able to identify your spiritual senses and understand which spiritual God that you serve. So with that being said, we as believers, we're operating under a different system. So, of course, we're learning. It's just like a baby. When a baby is born, he's learning himself. He's learning this new world. This is a whole new world that he was in because he was used to being in his mother's womb for 9 months. So he's learning this new world, and then also he's out of the womb and, of course, learning about himself, you know, his fingers, his toes, all these things. That's the same thing as Christians. We're learning. The Bible said the word disciple. A disciple is not a high priest. No, it's a learner. It's a student. We all are student of Jesus Christ, and we never graduate until we meet him. And so that's one of the things we have to understand. So I said all that to say this. When it boils down to it, many of us, there are some people who may be a little bit more knowledgeable than others, but of course, it takes us to do some work, to study, to be before the Lord, to discern, to, like I said, spend that quality time in prayer, but also studying the Word of God in its proper context. So for us to be able to know and learn, because a lot of people, what happened when God is not moving fast enough in their mindset, then they go back to familiar territory. And so God wants us to be able to be aware of, number one, what he can do, but most importantly, for who he is, understanding who he is. So, like I said, I wanted to bring it up because I know when I would talk to some people, even though they work with me, and it's a particular person I know, whenever I talk to that particular person, it's like to them, they say, they're very knowledgeable about what God can do, but there's always something that always makes them feel like they have to resort to the physical senses. But that's what the devil wants us to operate in, within our physical senses, not within our spiritual senses. So understand it is so important for us. Just like we have 5 senses within the physical realm, 5 senses in our physical body, we have 5 senses in our spiritual body. And so when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God no longer wants us to operate with our physical senses or even with our soulless senses, but with our spiritual senses. See, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, meaning in reality. So God have us with the spiritual senses for us to be able to spiritually see the resources that he has for us so we can bring it into the physical realm or into reality. With that being said, of course, the devil going to try to, when we see God not moving fast enough, the devil going to try to make us deal with what? Deal with our mind. He's going to try to deal with our mind. He's going to try his best to discourage us. He's going to try his best to make sure to make us see within the physical realm. He's going to try to make us see within the physical realm so that way we can be discouraged and we can just lose heart. Along with being able to deal with our physical senses, deal with our mind, because we understand that that's where the devil going to try to deal with us. That's where he try to talk to us, have that conversation with us, our mind, our mindset. That's why it's so important for us to be able to have our mind renewed daily. Sometimes, I'm going to say it like this, especially when you're in a crunch time, when you're dealing with certain things, to be honest with you, hey, we got to look at it. Forget about praying once a day. Lord, let this mind be in you every 15 minutes. Because when you deal with things, a lot of time our mind is just, whew, you know, things and pressure. And especially when you're already dealing with a crisis, and then you got the devil dealing with you and you getting to your mind. Well, excuse me, talking to you in your mind. Then you got people talking to your ear. It'll make you want to snap. But that's what the devil want to do. He want to make you snap. He want to make you resort back or even make you feel like, well, you know what? God abandoned you. God left you. God left you hanging. And so what happened, we think about what we used to do in the past to make things happen. Like I said, we think about what we used to resort to make things happen. You know, and there have been some time people may have felt like, well, shucks, I didn't have these much problems before I got saved. And that's what he's trying to make you consider. Because a lot of times people don't recognize what they were in until they got saved. And so what happened, you may not have recognized the danger or the devilment, and you might have been comfortable in your devilment. But then when you give your life to Christ, then all of a sudden, what happened, you begin to start seeing, well, shucks, people start treating you funny. People start acting crazy. People start trying to, you know, belittle you, all that stuff. But to be honest with you, that's who they really were. And unfortunately, what happened, when we have really given ourselves to God, what happened, it exposes the things or even the people that we have frequented or dealt with. You understand? So in other words, what happened a lot of time when we really think about it, it's not us that they're attacking, but it's the God in us that they're attacking. So what happened, even though we're the same person and we still call them, hey, how you doing, whatever, we still have done that, but they're the ones that have changed. And the reason why they have changed is because the God in us, the God in us, now they see the God in us and now is exposing, hey, that's not my enemy, they're enemy of God. Think about it. Think about it. There are some people, before you got saved, you know what? They were party-hardy, witchy and everything, you know. But then all of a sudden, you start want to do right. You start want to go to church. You start want to give your life to God. Then what happens? Now they want to talk about you. Now they want to lie on you. Now they want to, you know, use you or whatever. That's who they've been. But see, it was the opportunity. Your change or you accepting God into your life gave them the opportunity for them to reveal who they really are. That's it. That's it. So that's one of the things that we really, really, really have to think about. A lot of times the devil going to try to make us resort back to who we were or familiar territories because what happened? We feel like God ain't moving fast enough. Think about Abraham, you know. You know, many of us, we've heard the story of, you know, the angel telling Abraham that, well, first his name was Abram. Change his name to Abraham. You're going to be a father of many. And he was an old man with no kids. But yet still, hey, he's going to be a father of many. And it seemed like years passed and looked like God wasn't moving. So what did he do? Instead of getting pregnant, instead of getting his wife pregnant, he got somebody else pregnant. He took matters to his own hands. And what happened with that? He caused havoc in his house. You know, so what happened a lot of times when we end up taking matters to our own hands, we end up messing up and delaying a promise that God had gave us. You know, when you really think about it, that's one of the things that if we really just be real with ourselves, we have to understand that we don't know as much as God. And sometimes, like I said, we take matters to our own hands and it can be very tempting. And we can just know just a little bit of information and think, oh, wow, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this. Oh, I could do this. And then what happened? We end up messing everything up. So God wants us to first deal with our mind, but then also God wants us to deal with our perspective. See, even though we're out of danger and we're waiting, that waiting period is not the period where we just sit back and, you know, just do nothing. There's an opportunity for us to be doing something, even it may not be related to exactly what we're waiting on. It could be something else that we could be doing to help us to stay prepared or be prepared for whatever we're waiting on for it to arrive. Because the main thing we have to do, we have to be able to recognize it. Whatever we're waiting on, we have to be able to recognize what we're waiting on, because when God moves, it doesn't take him long. It just takes us long to recognize it. Or sometimes God be ready to move, but on the other hand, we're the one that's in the way. So that's something that we have to really, really, really understand. Our perspective. And not only our perspective for us to recognize it, but also even the perspective upon ourselves or even our relationship with God. Because so many times, you'd be surprised, so many times we have spiritual low self-esteem pertaining to our relationship with God. And a lot of times we may think that waiting period is a punishing period. That may not be a punishing period. God might be setting the scene right over here. God may be preparing me, or he may be preparing the scene, or he may be preparing the person that may be blessing me or you or whatever we're waiting on. So that's something we have to think about. But unfortunately, what happened, like I said, the devil wants us to go back to the place of familiarity. And sometimes what happened is in that place, we end up getting out of place, out of the place that God told us to wait at. You know, one of the things I often think about is when we were kids, we went to the movies a couple of times. We were dropped off by our mom, and my mom would drop us off at a specific spot. And she said, when the movies come out, when the movies get out, you'll be right back at this spot this woman pick you up at. But just imagine when the movies are out, and instead of her picking us up, instead of us being where she told us to be at, we go on down the street. See, she's coming to the spot that she told us to be at and where she dropped us off at. But what happened, we out of the place because we don't see her. Think about it. Think about the mailman. You're waiting on that check. You're waiting on that check to come. And you already gave them your address of where you're going to be at. But instead of you waiting at that specific address, you go all around the state. You move from place to place instead of standing still because what you're waiting on is coming to your specific address. And that's what the devil tried to make us do, try to make us change our perspective and make us become impatient to get out of place. Because there's a place that God wants us to be at. But the devil wants us to get out of place so we can miss our place. So That sounds crazy, but it's reality. That's one of the things that it really get us out of order. It make us miss everything that God has for us when we get out of place. And so when we get out of place and then we become frustrated or impatient, then we resort back to our own understanding or our own device and take matters to our own hands. And what happens when we, like I said, when we take matters to our own hands, it delays God's provision for us. It delays, it postpones, and sometimes we continue to live that life where we end up dying without what God intended for us to have. And I know some of us, oh, God is a good God. I said, yeah, but how about we just wait on him? In other words, wait on him totally, 100%. In other words, for us to have no involvement in what God has for us, have no involvement pertaining to us waiting on God, have no involvement in God's work for us. All the thing we need to do is obey. But as far as being able to try to, if you want to say help God out or give God a hand, he doesn't need our hand. He doesn't need our obedience. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because many times many of us have really missed opportunities because of our impatience, because we take matters to our own hands. And so one of the things we have to think about when it pertains to that waiting period, out of danger but still on the run, that part where you just looking for something to hold on to make it to the next day. Understand, sometimes God will have us in a situation where we can't do nothing else but to totally trust him. We have to be in a position where, you know what, God, this is above me. And sometimes in that situation, that's what he wants, for us to see him to do everything 100%, so that way we can't take credit for it. You know, one of the things I found out, sometimes when I ask God, I want you to move in my life. I want you to show yourself strong. And those that know me, I believe in prayer. I love prayer. I love praying. But also on the same token, one of the things that we often ask God to do, we want God to move in our life and all this and all that. But understand, he moves where we can know that it's him and we see that it's him, and sometimes it's above us. I say it like this. Sometimes when we're at work, when they ask us to do something or they tell us to do something and it's only the supervisor that can do it, we always say, hey, that's above my pay grade. Or whatever decision you want me to make, hey, I can't make that decision. The supervisor make that decision. That's above my pay grade. In the blessings or in the movements for our life and in our life is above our pay grade. But what happens when we try to make it our pay grade, then if we do it, then God is like, okay, well, you think that you can do it, or you trying to take matter to your own hands, you know, but we're the one to end up messing it up. So that's one of the things we have to think about. We have to learn. We have to learn that God is the only one that's able to do it, but also, excuse me, God is the only one that can be able to do it, but also on the same token, knowing that with this situation, God wants us to get out the way. God wants us to get out the way and let him get in the way and let him do it totally without our help, other than our obedience. Look at it like this. Our obedience is our cooperation to let God have access 100% in our life or in our situation. Understand? So God wants our participation, and God wants access. And the only way God has 100% access in our situation is we give him 100% obedience in our situation. That's one of the things we have to think about. God wants us to be able to give him our full cooperation. So also, even pertaining to, I mentioned, dealing with our mind or dealing with our mindset, dealing with our perspective. Because a lot of times, even with our perspective, sometimes God can be moving, but we not be able to recognize it. Because sometimes it does not appear the way that we want it to appear. You know, one of the things we often, my Sunday school teacher and I often say, actually it's a song by Garth Brooks, some of God's greatest unanswered prayers. You know, let's be honest. Has anybody ever prayed about being with this particular person and it looked like, oh my gosh, it like you can't live without that person, or it looked like y'all broke up and then next thing you know, years later, you're like, ooh, Lord, thank you I wasn't with that crazy person. Lord, thank you for ending that relationship. I know I prayed for God that you get us together and all this stuff, but God, thank you. You know, so with that, for us to be able to recognize sometimes what we have asked for, sometimes that might not be what God really has for us. You know, I was praying about this particular job years ago, and it was, I think like maybe $10 an hour. This is back in the early 90s. $10 an hour, working at I'm not going to say the name of it, but working at a cable company. I was like, oh, Lord, I really want that job. And they didn't hire me, and I was so defeated. But then I ended up getting a job at the sheriff's department. And guess what? About a year or two later, that job that I wanted at the cable company went out of business. And I'm still employed at the Dallas County Sheriff's Department. So, hey, you know, God knew what was best. And so that's what we got to trust God's heart pertaining to what we asking for. All we need to do is, look here, if God can take care of the lilies, if God can take care of the sparrow, we often sing that song, his eyes are on the sparrow, he watches over me. Okay, but understand, that's one thing of singing it. It's another thing to accept it. We got to accept that God cares for us. But also, we got to care about ourselves enough to understand that God has our best interest at heart. God has our best interest at heart. So understand, with our perspective and understanding that God ain't punishing us because we're in that waiting period, but also with our perspective and understanding who we are and understanding whose we are, understand that we are in royalty. We serve someone that loves us. We serve someone that cares about us. And even pertaining to a relationship, don't you know God is concerned about your relationship? God is concerned about you being treated right. God is concerned about you just being able to just, you know, just worship him even through your relationship. Someone that's going to treat you right. Someone that's going to respect you. Someone that's going to respect your God. Someone that's going to respect your family, your children. Someone that's going to bring you happiness, bring you joy. Someone that want to take care of you. Someone that want to do right with you. Somebody want to treat you like a treasure instead of treating you like trash. God wants you to understand you are his child. Do you think he wants you to be mistreated? And get this, if God not going to mistreat you, why would you think he would allow you to be mistreated? That's something to think about. Understand, if God would not mistreat you, why would he allow some joker to mistreat you? Even if that person's saying that they're saved, forget about what they're saying. Watch what they're doing. Watch how they're living. One of the things I always believe, a deaf person never goes by what a person says. They go by what a person does. See, anybody can talk to a deaf person, but the deaf person can't hear anything. A deaf person go by what they see. If you really want to show somebody that you care, show them more than tell them. Because guess what? A parrot can repeat what somebody says, but they can't do what somebody does. So if that person say that they love you, understand they can say that just like a parrot. A parrot can say it, but a parrot won't abuse you. So So if a person says that they love you, they're going to not only give you lip service, they're going to give you heart service. They're going to do, they're going to render respect, render love, render love to you. And love is not just a physical word, but it's a verb. It's more than just a noun. And so understand that with the concept of the perspective that we have, our concept pertaining to that waiting period, that wilderness experience that we're in, is our perspective is so important. Matter of fact, I want to bring up, this is another chapter I want to bring up, Numbers 13th chapter and also 14th chapter. Moses told the 12 spies to go over and check out the promised land. So understand, the promised land was already spoken that, you know what, the Israelites, we're going to take over it. But what happened, though, 12 spies went over. But it was two different type of perspectives that came back, two different reports. There were 10, the majority. There were 10 that said, oh, my goodness, them giants, we like grasshoppers to them. Oh, my goodness, man, they going to kill us. But two said, oh, it's plentiful. Look, 12 people, two different reports. The majority said, don't do it. We're going to get killed. But the minority said, oh, man, it's plentiful. We can do it. Our perspective. And guess what? Them two that gave a report for us to go forth, they lived to make it to the promised land. But them 10, the majority, they didn't make it. So the perspective, God already told them that it was going to be theirs. But understand that the perspective, if the perspective isn't lined up with what God said, then you would not recognize God's provision in your wilderness experience. Your wilderness experience is the opportunity for you to see the power of God move in your life and to catapult your faith and catapult your perspective of not only what God can do, but who he is. That's one of the things we have to recognize. Who he is, the isness of God. The isness of God, but also who you are in God and who you are to God. That is important for us to recognize. So understand, when those giants, they were looking at, they might have been looking over and say, well, you know what? Them little minions, we can take them out. But what happened? Eventually, them giants fell. God already said that, you know what? That's our land. But get this. This is something else for us to think about. This is something that caught my attention. It blew my mind. Giants, the giants that we face is not for our demise. But the giants or for our resources. Those giants that are in our life is not to kill us. The devil wants us to feel like that they're going to kill us. Like I said, think about those 12 spies, and we think about even pertaining to those 12 spies that look over and saw those giants at the land that they said that God going to give them. Those giants were not for their demise, but those giants for their resources. What do I mean? The wealth of the wicked is laid up and stored up for the righteous. So in other words, they accumulating, they working, they getting everything together. But you know what? I'm going to be the one to reap the benefits off of it. I'm going to be the one that's going to enjoy it. That's where you have to look at it. In your wilderness experience, this is a great opportunity for you to be able to really just get deep down in your relationship with God and also your relationship with yourself and use it as an opportunity and study hall. One of the things I always tell the guys who come to jail, hey, don't look at this place as punishment. Look at this as study hall. What you going to learn from this experience? What are you learning from your wilderness experience? You know, one of the things I have to think about when it comes down to conflict, when it comes down to crisis, sometimes crisis and hardship, it produces a bigger fight within us. That wilderness experience should produce a bigger fight within us, regardless of what situation, regardless of what wilderness that you're experiencing. All of us at some point of our life, from the time that we're born up until the time we get of age, an adult, there is some type of wilderness experience that we've experienced. And so in that experience, what did you learn? What did you learn about God, and also what did you learn about yourself? Because understand, God is not looking at us as who we are right now. He's looking at us as who we're becoming. He acknowledges who we are, and also he acknowledges who we were. He's looking at who we're becoming, and that's that grooming, that growing process that we have to accept. We have to understand that every day we should be learning something more about God and also learning more about ourselves. And so with that, understand that in that experience that you're dealing with, in that waiting period, like I said, you can be waiting on God for whatever. You can be waiting on God for God to help you to get a job, prepare you, you know, utilize this wilderness experience as a dressing room. Because ultimately, when God moves, when God put the rockets on you and get you going, you know what happens? You know, sometimes it's like things change, but this is not a punishment. This is not a punishing period. And a lot of times people think, well, you know, God doesn't love me. I'm going through so much. Look here. A lot of times, it ain't God. Sometimes it ain't the devil. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes we might be caught to who we may be connected to. Sometimes things happen. It's a part of life. Sometimes it's the people that we around or the people that we're connected to. You just never know. You know, but in the midst of, God can still protect and provide for us. But we ought to be able to be able to recognize it. That's one of the things I'm a firm believer in when I begin to think about the people of old. You know, I'll often hear the stories of my grandmama, with my maternal grandmother, singing the song, "The Lord Will Make a Way Somehow." You know, she may not have had food in her pantry or whatever, but some way, somehow, God provided. And so sometimes God is trying to mature us. And sometimes in that maturing stage, we experience a wilderness experience for us to be able to really see the power of God move in our life. Look, for little old us, for little old me, you know, one of the things I found out when God began to deal with me about, hey, fasting, praying, and really praying for myself. It's easy for me to ask somebody to pray for me, but for me to be able to pray for myself, you know, God wants us to be in a position where we can be able to trust and depend upon him and go to him for ourselves. No longer, especially if we're supposed to be in his family, if we're supposed to be a child of God, look, we should be able to approach God for ourselves. And sometimes we may be in a situation where we may not have access to somebody to, hey, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. And sometimes our resources could be gone, and we have to deal with God for ourselves. Those are the experiences that we deal with in our wilderness experience. And so with that, we need to be able to really just start utilizing the time in our wilderness experience to talk to God for ourselves, deal with God for ourselves. So with that being said, I'm going to get ready to go to the phone line right quick. I see a good friend of mine. I'm going to go ahead and line up this phone right quick. Uh-oh. Okay, getting ready. Okay. Go to the last three digits of his phone number, 939. Welcome to Reconnect My Heart Podcast. You're on the air. How you doing today? Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome to Reconnect My Heart. How you doing today?
Oh, okay. All right. I was just coming to encourage you on your lesson today. You had a beautiful topic, and I was you stating there one time, and I went to the Proverbs 26:11, where it's people that keep going back to the same thing is like a dog returning to their own vomit. And sometimes people get in a comfortable situation and they just rather go back than try to do something that's different. But it was a beautiful lesson. I thank God for you and encouraging people to just keep trying to move to new heights and deeper levels in Christ. And whatever situation they're in, God can help them get through it. But we have to do our part in trying to get delivered from whatever situation we're in.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's funny that when I was thinking about the deliverance and everything, you know, a lot of times when we try to take battle to our own hands, and there might be a conversation we'll have off the air one day, but, you know, kind of take battle to our own hands, and then what happened, we end up having to deal with the scraps to clean up what we messed up, and yet still, after we clean up what we messed up, then we got to go ahead and still wait, and sometimes that delays what we ask God for, and we end up eventually trying to recoup the time that we lost because of us taking matters to our own hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and each time in the Bible when somebody took matters into their own hand, they had to also take the consequences that went along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, when Sarah told Abraham to sleep with her handmaiden Hagar, well, they had a child, and then what? These two children are still fighting to this day. You know,
yeah.
So that's part of the consequence. And so that's why it's best for us to let God fix it. And then God has whatever consequence or whatever come out of it, which you won't have it with God, but it's all in God's hand, you know. Many times we think, I always tell people that our good is not, I don't care what we think, our good is not good. Eve thought that the apple was what? It was good. The apple or whatever you want to call it. She said it was good. So a lot of times the Bible say that sometimes the things that we think, they're only right in our own eyesight. And so many times that's why we, especially today, I mean, because time's going so fast, it behooves us to always to pray and ask God and let God fix it, because time is moving so fast, and each mistake that we make nowadays is very costly nowadays. It's, you know, years ago, time seemed like it was going slow and you could kind of recuperate. But now, I mean, just look, the pandemic been here 3 years. And does it seem like it's been around here 3 years? I mean, but 3 years can went by just that quick. See, and so I tell people, we can't afford to make any kind of mistakes now, because time is just moving so fast. You look around and everything beating past you by, because you keep trying to do it in your own. And it says, acknowledge him and what? He will direct our path. And so we need to do more of trying to acknowledge God. I mean, it sounds old school. It sounds old folky. But I think those are things that's only working nowadays. You look at most new cars. They're only around here for a short time. But I can take you and show you where a lot of cars that were made years and years ago that are still around because how they made it. And so a lot of times in this world today, many of us don't have the stamina. We're not made like the old cars, out of the hard steel and out of the hard stuff that will last throughout generations and generations. So, you know, and so we have to go back, even though you think it's old folky, go back to what has been proven and what works, when people can show you about through their life how it's working and stuff, and just stick with that, and then I think we'll do better in our life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, I definitely appreciate you, and whenever you're ready, let me know what day you're going to be coming back, so that way we can get a chance to have one of these powwows on the line, too.
Okay, then. Okay. We'll get together. All right.
All right.
But you have a great night, and I enjoy it.
All right, appreciate you now.
Mm-hmm.
Next person right here. Hello, welcome to Rick Nemohar Podcast. You're on the air.
Hello, hello.
Hello there, hello there, hello there. How you doing today, ma'am?
I am blessed, I am blessed.
Good. Yes, doing good. Would you like to say anything, or you were just listening?
I was just
You're welcome to chime in if
just...
you like.
I was just listening in. I appreciate the message. I appreciate the message and the follow-up. And just recognizing that what you were saying about we're not just dealing with who we are, but who we're becoming, the process of who we're becoming. And when you said that, it just clicked in my brain. Even a baby, when they're growing up, you know, when their teeth are coming in or they're learning to walk, that's a painful situation for them. That's a challenging task for them. But once that process is completed, then, you know, that pain is gone. They forget about, you know, the pain that they had. So that was a blessing for me. So it's a process, and sometimes the process hurts, but on the other side is victory. So I appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah, you know, matter of fact, I'll share this with you. I don't know if I ever said this on the air or not, but long story short, years ago, my son's mother, before he was born, called me and told me that they were going to take the baby out of her. She was having conditions. And so I'm driving, leaving work, headed to the hospital. And I'm up here praying to God, God, protect Dylan, God, you know, protect his mother and all that stuff. And as I begin to pray, God told me to stop praying and saying his name. I start praying and saying the meaning of his name. So as I begin to start praying, God, Dylan means faithful. The way it's spelled, D-I-L-L-O-N, means faithful. God, you are faithful to your word. And then Nathaniel means gift of God. God, You give gifts, you don't give damaged goods, all this stuff. So I begin to pray that as I'm driving. Then all of a sudden, as I'm driving, I see a vision. And I'll never forget. And it was only God that, you know, helped me to make it over there to our destination. Because I was in rush hour traffic, driving. And at the same time, trying to drive physically, I'm seeing a spiritual vision. And I saw this boy. I saw this boy, you know, kind of tall boy, kind of slender, short hair, you know, brown complected, and I thought that was a younger version of me. I was like, and God said, "No, that's your son, Dylan." I'm like, "What? Good grief!" You know, and this was before the sonogram or me seeing his image and all that stuff. Lo and behold, 15 years later, what God showed me is exactly how he looked. Now, even though I saw the vision before he came out, and, you know, the process and the hardship and the wilderness that he experienced growing up, but he's becoming what God showed. And so the same thing pertaining to you, how sometimes when God gave us a vision, God showed us something, the devil going to try to bring some discouragement, try to throw some things to derail our focus from the spiritual to the natural, or from the spiritual to the cardinal, or sometimes from the spiritual to the mental, because we want to lose our mind and give it to somebody else, you know. And take me out of my own hands. You know, we sang that song, and it was on the top of my tongue. Take the battle. Oh, boy. As soon as we get off the air, I'm going to think about that song. It's a song that we would often sing at church. Not take your burden to the Lord, but the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's, you know, something like that, you know. We sing these songs, we say it, but if you look at it, these experiences that we deal with are opportunities. They're opportunities for God to move in our specific life. You know, I was talking to my daddy couple months ago, and I told my dad this. I said, you know, when we look at our parents and all the stuff, they dealt with so much and everything, but God is trying to be the God in our life. He was the God, you know, when we were growing up, he was the God of our parents, and we saw him move for our parents. Now he want to become our personal God for him to move specifically in our life. And it's the same God that moved in our parents' life, in our pastor's life, in our first lady's life. He want to move in our life so that way the same movements that he did within them and for them, he want to do for us. You know, that makes sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah, so I'm learning. I ain't gonna lie to you. I tell people all the time, I don't know everything, and this is a learning process. And you know, one of the things I often with teams, Sheila would say, you know, I'm still under construction, so excuse my dust. You know, and so with these wilderness experience, looking at this as a homework assignment. For us to be able to see the power of God move and look at, hey, whatever we need for God to do, hey, write down these things and use them as notes. Write some notes pertaining to our situation. These are homework assignments. Like I said, study hall. In study hall, we're supposed to be studying and examining things. But so many people, they utilize their study hall time to go to sleep, to get on the phone, to do other things, without utilizing it for the opportunity for them to be prepared for the test that may be coming up or the class that may be coming up. So I just wanted to share that, and I appreciate your support.
Oh, always, always.
All right, all right. Take care, and I will see you, talk to you shortly.
Okay, you too.
All right, and this is our last one. Hello, hello. Welcome to Rick Never Hard Podcast. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Another awesome, awesome message. Well, one of the things that stuck out for me was how you talked about the waiting, and then also how you talked about us maturing in Christ. And the key is in Christ. And so, you know, while we're waiting for something, what came out in our Sunday school lesson today, you know, one of the things you just spoke about is we need to get busy in kingdom work. We need to get busy, you know, serving God. And that fills that void of waiting. And then understanding, like you said, understanding who we are in Christ. That's a big key to our life, to, you know, happiness, to, if you were in Bible, joy, it's just a big key to, you know, just understanding that, you know, God has your victory. And in him, you have victory in all things, whether it's you want a new relationship, whether it's your job, whether it's something simple as getting something to eat. You have the victory in God. So I just appreciate you coming on, talking about that, and getting people to understand who they are in Christ. I think that was the number for me that hit home is just understanding, you know, that we are children of God, and he's promised to take care of us, and we don't have to worry about things. We don't have to, you know, see, of course, we got to go through stuff, and that's another part that I love about this message tonight. Of course, we got to go through stuff, but understand that God, in God, you have the victory. So that's really all I want to say. But just coming on, just supporting you and appreciating you coming on and sharing the word with people and saving lives. I mean, I know you've helped me. You've helped my daughter. You've helped many, many people, you know. So just supporting you back and just showing love back and just saying thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I'm honored. The way I look at it, this is what we all supposed to do as believers. And matter of fact, when I first started really studying, not just reading the Bible, but started studying the Bible, I had someone to tell me, you know, what are you you getting all those books for? You know, are you trying to be a preacher? Whatever. And the first thing it hit me, thank God God spoke for me, and God told me was, I'm fighting the same devil that the preachers are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fighting the same devil. You fighting the same devil, you know. And so what happened a lot of time, we feel that because we're not, quote, unquote, behind a pulpit, but that we don't need to be studying or doing all that. I mean, understand this. The devil knows God's word so good that he know key words to leave out to deceive us.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to think about.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So if he knows God's word enough so much to leave out, then we should know God's word enough to know what part he leave out, so that way we won't be deceived. You know, he already know God's word, and he also know the results of obedience and worship, because at one point he was over the worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of him being kicked out and because of all these things, like I said, he knows what to leave out and all that stuff. So what we need to do, we need to do our part. We need to be able to recognize when he's trying to swoop us, when he's trying to manipulate us, all these things. So that way we won't be sidetracked. That way we can still be focused. We can still have our focus set on God in spite of the situations. You know, have those blinders on, just like a horse and a jockey put on a horse. I don't care what other horses are doing. That horse is focused. The horse has its blinders and trying to reach where you're trying to go. And so the same thing with us. You know, God loves us enough for us to be able to really just try to help us. And this is an open book test that we deal with. And so no matter what may come or go, I feel this, no matter what come or go in our life, not allowing anything from stopping us to be the worshipers that God wants us to be. And that worship for our obedience and everything. You know, I was talking to somebody because I don't remember exactly what all it was, but I say part of this. In some of the situations I dealt with, when I had defaulted, my default response was to pray and talk to God. That's something that God want us to resort to, but the devil want us to resort to lashing out, not going to God. If something go on, we should automatically go to God for comfort, for wisdom, for guidance, whatever. That's what God want us to do, but the devil want us to go back to what we used to do before we depend upon God, and for us to depend upon our own resource or our own ability or our own understanding, all these things. That's what he wants us to do. And I found out in the midst of whatever situation may come, not allowing anything from stopping us to be the worshipers, not for us to be able to, the things that stop us from being a worshiper or being obedient to God. And to some people, it may sound old folky, like Minister Tim was saying earlier. It may sound old folky. It may sound like, oh, you know, they always say that. But in actuality, it's real. It's true, you know. So I really appreciate those words and everything.
Oh, yeah. No problem. And like I say, you know, I love the fact that you continue to, you know, bring the spirit forward, you know. That's something the world needs, and that's something that as Christians we need to understand, is that you talked about tonight, we're spirit beings. And I think one of the things that really hit home tonight, and some one of the things I've been talking to people about, is that you're going to serve one of those spirits, because the Bible tells you you can't serve both of them, and you're going to love one, hate the other, but you're going to serve one of those spirits. So you might as well be on. I say for me, I want to be on the right side. I want to be with the Lord, right? I don't want to be on the other side. So, but one of the things you brought home tonight, like I said, is that the fact is that we are spirit beings first. Then comes the natural. So when we have our problems, we need to go to God in spirit, get on our knees and pray, and understand that he will answer our prayers, that he has already given us victory over all things.
Yes, yes. Well, I definitely appreciate you.
No problem.
To be continued.
Yes, sir.
To be continued.
All right.
Same to you now. Same to you. I want to bring this up while I'm thinking about it. I forgot to mention this earlier. But, you know, we were in a conversation this morning. Well, actually, we were having our Sunday school this morning, and also it was a conversation I was having with someone some time ago. But, you know, a lot of time when you're in a situation, what happened when you feel stuck, the devil going to try to bring things to try to make you feel relaxed. Good example. My Sunday school teacher, and he don't mind me saying this, but my Sunday school teacher was talking about earlier today, he felt out of place going to a party. And then there are some people that just say, hey, you're going to a party. You go to a party. You feel nervous. You feel like you're out of place. But what happened, what the devil going to try to do? The devil going to try to make you fit in by suppressing your spirit. And so what he's going to do is want you to take something that's going to relax you. Might be some drugs, maybe some alcohol. And so what he's going to do, let's just say the alcohol that's going to suppress or relax you. But what it's doing is suppressing your spirit, man, because alcohol, we were talking about some weeks ago, alcohol is another word, spirit, or spirits. So you taking that liquid spirit to suppress your real spirit. So what happened when you in an environment that is not right or unhealthy, or that familiar territory that you fell back into, what happened after everything is over with, after the alcohol wears off, what happened? Now you picked up something that God did not intend for you to have. See, you drunk a liquid spirit to suppress your real spirit. And then after the devil gets done with you, he left you with a spirit that was resembling him. You know what I'm saying? So ultimately, the devil will always try to do something to make us refer back to who we were or what we've done. But God is trying to bring us from the old to the new. And so with that being said, I want us to be able to really just think about everything that we're dealing with right now pertaining to the waiting on God, you know, asking God for a sign, or the waiting for God to bring in manna, you know, while we're waiting. That waiting is not a punishment. This waiting is an opportunity. In other words, it's a great opportunity. You know, my Sunday school teacher, now we were saying, whatever you deal with, hey, not only count it all a joy, but throw a party. If your boyfriend leave you, hey, that's good. Throw a party. Party. That girl, you found out that girl cheated on you, hey, throw a party. Leave her alone. Because it's freeing you, and it's better for you to have nobody that's going to prepare you for somebody versus having somebody who's going to treat you like a nobody. So in other words, even through this domestic violence month, domestic violence awareness month, utilize this as an opportunity for you to examine yourself and your relationship with God, and also your relationship with your family, relationship with your kids. Take inventory. So that way, in your waiting period, you don't have to refer back to somebody that's not going to treat you right, somebody that's going to disrespect you. You don't do that. You don't deserve that. And so just in case you've watched this, you may have been listening, wondering, you know, what can you do to get saved? You know, what does it take to get saved? Romans 10:9 tell us, that thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ thy Savior, and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the opportunity for you to be able to give everything to God. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And just in case you may have some things that are going on, and you may have been in that witness experience where you have referred back to a familiar territory, don't beat yourself up. Forgive yourself. Look, ask God to forgive you. Receive his forgiveness, and you receive the forgiveness that you need to give to yourself. So give that to God. Let God heal you from everything, so that way you won't refer back. In other words, you won't refer back, but you'll be referring forward. Getting tongue twisted. You will not refer backwards. You will refer forward. In other words, you won't fall back. You will fall forward. Fall forward. Fall forward to the arms of God. He the one that want to help you and encourage you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now. We acknowledge your presence on today. We come to you right now, God. We acknowledge your presence on tonight, God. God, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us. There's anything that's in us is unlike you, God. God, we ask you, Lord, for your forgiveness, and we receive your forgiveness, and we thank you for your forgiveness. We come to you right now, God. Ask you, God, to help us in every area of our lives, God. Help us mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally. God, even in the provisions that we're waiting on you for, God, help us, God, to be patient, God. Help us, God, to seek you, God, and know, God, that you are an on-time God. God, you may not come when you want to. You may not come when we want you to, but you're right on time, God. You know the timing of everything that we need, and you know the provisions that we need right now, God. So, God, help us, God, to have this spiritual clarity, God, for us to be able to see you and to seek you no matter what right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, help us, God, right now, God, to understand, God, this is not a punishment or a waiting period that we're going to die in a wilderness. God, but God, help us, God, to be able to see your strength and your muscles being flexed in this experience right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind everything the devil stands for. We cancel the devil's assignment right now. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done right now. We thank you, Lord, for everything you're going to do right now, God. We proclaim your name of healing and wholeness right now, God. God, we speak it right now, God. Those who are grieving, God, comfort them right now, God. We hold up the McDaniel family right now, God. We hold up the Logan family right now, God. Holding them up right now, God. Holding up each and every one of them right now, God. God, we speak it right now, God, that you comfort them right now, God. God, you say it right now in your word that you will comfort us, God. So, God, we need you right now to comfort them right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak it right now, God. Those who are sick, touch and heal their bodies right now, God. From the crown of their head to the sole of their feet right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we speak it right now, God. Those who need protection right now, God, protect them right now, God. God, breathe a supply right now, God. Supply every need right now according to your riches and glory right now. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now, God. We're expecting a great testimony from this right now, God. We're expecting a powerful move right now, God. Even in the midst of our wilderness experience, God, help us, God, to continue to worship you right now, God, to praise and to magnify you, God, to obey you and to trust you right now. In the name of Jesus, help us, God, to trust you like never before, God. Help us, God, to be able to trust you when we can't trace you right now, God. But God, help us, God, to continue to look up to you right now, God, from the hills which come of our help right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we hold up right now, God, every family right now, God, that may be listening right now, God. God, there's someone, God, who may be dealing with drugs, who may be dealing with a wayward spirit right now, God. God, touch their minds right now, God. Get a hold of their mind right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, someone who may feel like they're being cursed right now, God. Someone who may feel like, God, they're useless, God. Someone who may feel like, God, there's no purpose for them. God, let them know, God, that there's purpose right now, that you ordained it right now. You have given them the identity, God, the value, their ethics, God, their purpose, their character, God. And God, we speak it right now, God, those right now, God, who are dealt with domestic violence right now. We hold up each and every person right now, God. Help them to understand who they are in you, God. Give them their identity right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, let them know, God, that that's not something that you ordained for them to be in, God. So, God, we ask us to cleanse them and heal them and make them whole right now, God, lacking nothing in their life right now. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, God, everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to catch me on Brother Prater, B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P as in Paul, R-A, T as in Tom, E-R. You can catch me on Facebook, where you can see my daily devotions and also videos. Also, you can go to brotherprater.com. You can go to brotherprater.com. You see my daily devotions and upcoming events. Also, you can go to the store section of my website where you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. I got a supply of it now. I got some in stock. A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. We talk about different things. We talk about different things pertaining to the role of a man, the responsibility of a man, but also even be able to identify what a real man is, what a real man ain't. Also, my other book, The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper. The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper. This is a tribute book. And this is just me pretty much talking about my sister. This, look here, forget about the grammar, forget about the eloquent speak. No, I'm one dude talking about my sister, my friend. And so I have both of these available, and feel free to catch me anytime. And I want to thank each and every one who tuned in. Thank y'all for y'all calls, and also thank y'all for y'all comments. Thank you all real quick. Miss Keisha Armstrong, hello there. Hello there, Evangelist Robinson, Parashawn Hall, woo-hoo. Also, like I said, Marta Conley, Miss Crystal Floyd, Minister Timothy Green, and Hamilton, and so many others. Derek Floyd, Dr. Floyd, Dolores, so many of y'all, Marley Conley, thank y'all so much for y'all love and support and y'all prayers. And I thank each and every one for tuning in. And thank you for listening to Rick Name My Heart Podcast. God bless you and good night.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.